Good morning. If you would turn your notebooks to page 820. 820. Seeing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a faithful line to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. We will rest in the fair and happy land by and by. Just a cross on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses in the land by and by. It will be Jesus evermore. For all the Christ in his place shines one eternal day. Ere God the Son forever make as good as night of day. We will rest in a fair and happy land by and by, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and will live Jesus evermore. He'll with the eye by rapture soul, would hear no longer sing. Oh, Jordan, faith around me roll, fearless I march away. We will rest in a fair and happy land by and by, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and we'll live Jesus evermore.
If you would turn your hymn book to page 763. 763. Sing all three verses. 763.
O land of rest for thee, I tired when will of hope and calm, when I shall lay my harbor by and will in peace at home. Will work till Jesus comes, will work till Jesus comes, will work till Jesus comes, and will he ever hold. To Jesus Christ I fled for rest, he begs, he seeks to hold, and he for succor on his breast unlock me home. Will work till Jesus comes, will work till Jesus comes, will work till Jesus comes, and will be ever home. I saw him once, my Savior's side, no more my steps shall go. With him I'll break death till the eternity, my heavenly home.
Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we humbly bow to you this morning, Lord, thanking you first and foremost for another beautiful day, another day of life, another day of living. God, we thank you so much for being the head of our life, oh God. God, we thank you for the many blessings that you have given us, Father, even though we don't deserve them, Lord. Lord, we thank you just for being who you are. God, at this time, we ask, Father, that you would bless those, Father, who were mentioned. And, Father, those who are sick, those who are bereaved. Lord, we ask that you would comfort them, O Lord. Oh, comfort that only you can give, O God. And, God, that your will be done, Father, that those who are ill, Father, that you bring them to their health, Father. If it be thy will. Father, we ask at this time, Father, that you bless this service and the order that we're doing it in, Father, that it is decent and in order. Father, we ask that you would continue to bless the leaders of this congregation, Father. Lead them, guide them in the way in which you would have them to go, Lord. Father, we ask that you bless Brother Skippy this morning, Father, in his message, Lord God, that you guide his words, Father, that you guide his heart, that if there are any out there today, Father, who are in need, that the words that you give them, Father, to lead them closer to you. Father, we know that things on this earth, Father, are not easy. Father, God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for the grace and the mercy that you have given us. Father, we ask that you forgive us of our sins, both known and unknown. Father, that we continue to allow you to order our steps, not us ordering our own. Father, we ask everything and all things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn to hymn book to page 344. 344. Sing all three.
Why did the Savior heaven descend, come to earth below? Where man his grace would not receive, because he loves me so. He loves me. He loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, because he loved me so. Why did the Savior and my temptation adore? Why he sent toil and he sent pray, because he loved me so. He loves me, he loves me. He loves me, yes, I know.
We now have the privilege and the honor to serve and partake of the Lord's Supper. We have before us two emblems commemorating the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have the bread of life that represents his body that was crucified on the cross of Calvary, and the cup of salvation that was shed for many for the remission of sin. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. O kind and merciful Father, we humble ourselves in the name of Jesus, thanking you for this honor that we have, for the precious body of your Son that he gave on our behalf so that we might have everlasting life. We're grateful and thankful. Give you praise, give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Father, we thank you that we are able to partake of this fruit of the vine as it represents your Son's blood. We thank you for the love that was shown on our behalf, that we can know that the blood washes us clean each and every day. Father, we thank you that we're able to remember you in this way, knowing that we are a redeemed people, and we look forward to the day that we can drink of the cup with you in heaven one day. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
and Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night, I warn you, many will meet there too. Trumpets will sound, and all of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the sky, going where no heart dies. Heaven's word bound, and Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night, I adore you. Many will be there too. Trumpets will sound, and all of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the sky, going where no Lord dies. Heavenward bound.
If you'd like to follow along with the scripture reading this morning, as I encourage you to do so, we'll be reading from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. I'll give you a moment to find that. That's Nehemiah, chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Today, the lesson will be, let us rise up and build together. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies in waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them the hand of my God, which has been upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. And they set their hands to this good work. Now we have our lesson for Brother Skippy Norman.
Again, good morning. Truly God has once again blessed us despite the weather that we're having this morning, the cold that we're having this morning. God has allowed us to be able to be alive, to be able to come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here, those who have called in on our conference call. We're just glad that you have tune in to our service on this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're just glad to have you in our presence, and even those who are visiting on our conference call as well. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Wise eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, we again thank you for this day, and thank you for your blessings and this opportunity you've given us again to assemble ourselves together this morning. Just pray, Heavenly Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon the things that will be said today from your word, that we look back over our lives and make sure that we're living in accordance into your holy and divine word. Just be with us throughout this day. Forgive us of any sin we have committed through thought, word, or deed. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us rise up and build. As we look at the text in Nehemiah, there in chapter 2, it's important to remember that Nehemiah is in Jerusalem with the permission and the blessings of the king. He has taken all the precautions and plan things out. He knows what letters he needs, how long it's going to take, and what materials that he needs. So know that Nehemiah has a plan, and he does things intentionally. See, Nehemiah is a visionary leader. What's a visionary leader? Visionary leader is able to see what ought to be done, what can be done, and what it takes to do it. Visionary leaders act on what needs to be done. They lead by example. They walk by faith and not by sight. And this was Nehemiah. Nehemiah, he trusted in Almighty God. But then also, when Nehemiah reached Jerusalem, his first step was not to gather all the people together and announce to them what his intentions were and how they would help him rebuild the walls of the city. Because they might not have been excited about it like Nehemiah was excited. And so we find that Nehemiah, he avoided doing anything public for at least 3 days in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 11. But then finally, in the middle of the night, Nehemiah, in verse number 12, he went with a few people to investigate the walls and the gate without anyone else knowing. Then also in verse number 12, Nehemiah, he arrives in Jerusalem. There he examines the wall, the broken down walls, and he realized that things are worse than he thought. Because see, back then, a wall not only provided protection for the people, but it was a symbol of strength. It was a symbol of dignity. It signified that the people took pride in the city, and they took pride in the work. But then in verse 17, Nehemiah appeals to the inhabitants concerning the problem that they faced. Nehemiah went on to describe how God's hand was upon him in his discussion with the king of Persia. But then notice how the people responded in verse number 18. Let us rise up and deal. And thus the rebuilding work began. But then when you go to chapter 3, in chapter 3 it details how the people joined the work of rebuilding and worked systematically on the walls and on the gates of Jerusalem. But then Nehemiah, we find in chapter 4, he gave all the credit to the people when he said in verse number 6, so build we the wall. And all the wall would join together unto half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. And so while the actual details of the work begins in chapter 4. But in chapter 3 is what we're going to be looking at this morning. It gives us an overall summary of the work. And what we find is that we're going to find teamwork. The rebuilding of the wall took 52 days to complete. Nehemiah chapter 6,
and verse number 15. So what can we learn from this subject? Let us rise up and build the work of God. In those words, let us rise up and build together, come the shift from looking back to looking forward. From living as a consumer to living as a co-builder. So I want to simply let God remind us of how we can move forward in building the work of God. And the first basic truth that we're going to see this morning is number one, that we can build the work of God when we are united in purpose. When we are united in purpose. We can see all of this in chapter 3. The work of rebuilding walls was not left to experts, but rather a wide mixture of a multitude of people participating in the work. See, Nehemiah had people from all walks of life, and they were pitching in to help build the wall. Now notice some of them. In verse number 1 is the high priest. In verse 2, he gets the men of Jericho to help out. In verse 8, he gets the city goldsmith to leave his shop and come out and help with the repair. Later in the same verse, he gets the smell good perfume maker to get involved in the work. In verse number 12, we see that one guy even got his daughters to work on a section of the wall. In verse 22, even the priests are out there working on a section of the wall. Nehemiah chapter 3 is a beautiful picture of what can be accomplished when all the people of faith comes together. These are regular people with regular families and real jobs and real lives with real problems. And the fact that many of these people are mentioned by name is just a reminder to us that God cares for us as individuals. But he knows us by name. But not only does he know us by name, he knows who does what. See, these are not just Nehemiah's words. These are God's words. And while not everybody is mentioned by name, God knows who they are. God knows how vital every role is, and he notices who does what. This lets us know, church, that you don't always have to have your main name mentioned. God knows who you are. God knows what you're doing. But he also knows who doesn't do anything. God knows that. Because when you look at the text, there was a one group of people that we see in verse number 5 of chapter 3. Who did not join in with the work. In verse 5 says, the next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa. Now, Tekoa was a town about 11 miles from Jerusalem. But notice what he says, but their nobles put not their neck to the work. The phrase "would not put their neck to the work" suggests that it was pride more than anything else which kept them from pitching in. Nehemiah is using an agricultural image that describes a stiff-necked ox who refused to be yoked. These nobles would not carry their part of the load. Maybe they thought they were above hard work. Maybe they thought that they had a better plan. Maybe they thought that they didn't like how Nehemiah was doing it. They were too important to get their hands dirty. But whatever reason, you can be assured they regretted it, because they stand as the only people that is mentioned in this chapter who did not join in with the work. Let me ask you a question this morning. Would that be said of you? Would that be said of you that you wouldn't submit, you would not bend, you would not even join in the work that the Lord wants us to do? The point is that everyone had a role in God's work, and some wasn't fulfilling their role. But everyone had a role. Let us unite in purpose. Let's unite in a profound way that He sees and loves people. Let us unite in His word and His work. Let's dare to unite beyond all other identities and people that try to define us and try to divide us, not only on the outside, but it's sad to say, it's on the inside as well. Let's join in the work, because the main idea that I want you to draw from our text is that the work of God is the greater accomplishment. It comes from a united purpose. When people of diverse backgrounds, interests, and abilities join together under compelling vision. Listen, success is achieved when we put our differences aside to work for a greater goal and do whatever it takes to move the church forward. Secondly, we can build the work of God when everyone plays a part. When everyone plays a part. The people had just seen a mass of destruction. But look at this visionary leader, Nehemiah. He sees that amidst what is massive are different sections of walls and gates, and which need significant work and repairs. And the walls were divided, and the people were assigned certain sections to work on. That's a visionary leader. And what we see is the beauty of being united in one purpose, but with different parts to play. The unchanging truth is this, ladies and gentlemen. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. The advancement of the kingdom of God does not occur by the sole effort of a single individual seeking to be a hero. Instead, the most significant impact is when God's people work together in a unified effort in rebuilding the walls, a multitude of people and families. They worked together. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10, and every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, for whom the whole body fitly worked, joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You got to understand, church, that the church, everyone has a role to play and a job to do. But it's sad that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And one person is filling two and three different roles, and the load isn't shared. So everyone needs to understand that you have a role in God's work. So as we went through the text, did you notice how diverse everyone was? As we went through it, there was gender diversity, both men and women. They're putting their shoulder to the task. They were all kind of people with diverse backgrounds, but they all came together, united under one common purpose, and that was to rebuild the walls and to glorify Almighty God. We see the same thing in the local church. We come from different backgrounds. We represent a diversity of ages and genders and races and tax brackets and marital statuses. We are all different, but yet we are all one in Christ Jesus. That's the message of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and has broken down the middle walls of partition between us. Thank God he destroyed the barriers, the dividing walls of hostility. And it's sad that too many are trying to put those walls back up that God has destroyed. And so his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace in this one body to reconcile them both to God through the cross. See, the cross is the great leveler and equalizer of people. We are all one in Christ. We're equal in the work to which he has called you and I. And that means that there is no competition. There is no jealousy. There is no envy for power or control. We set aside our differences and encourage one another in faith. And we affirm one another's contribution, and we help one another's effort, knowing that we are all on the same team. That's what we got to understand, church. That we're all on the same team. We are all working toward the same goal, to build the church, to further the kingdom, to glorify God, and to make heaven our home. But then finally, we can build the work of God when our focus is not on self, but our focus is on serving the Lord. As we seek to impact the community for the glory of God, we must not be individually minded or even just work within our own tribe. We must be kingdom minded and come together as the entire body of Christ to love and to serve. The work purpose, not just because of an individual. The work prospered, not because of an individual, but noted by a group of Jerusalem Jews, but because of God's people coming from different areas, serving one another, passionately seeking to do the work that God has accomplished. We are not, and we have to understand, the power is not by our strength, but the power is by His strength. And so, knowing that God's hand is upon us, the Spirit of God empowers us as we work together to build the kingdom of God. So as we build the kingdom of God upon the earth, every person has a vital role. You have a role to contribute, and our greatest potentials come from working together. Therefore, we must be zealous in our work, believing that God's hand is upon us. And if we're going to ever go to the next level, we need everyone to find their place in the body. I'm calling upon the leaders of this congregation, whatever area that we are lacking in, announce it, write it down, post it, so members can see it. And I'm calling upon the members of this church. Will you rise? Will you rise to the challenge by getting involved? Go to Brother Ken, go to the elders and say, I want to get involved in the work here by working in whatever area that you want to work in, and maybe you're already working in this area. Let them know. And I'm already working. I want to keep on working in this area. Church, we got to go to the next level. We need to be what God wants us to be. And I challenge you this morning, let us rise up and build the work of God. We can't make you, but we're pleading with you. Let's get involved. Let's get involved for the cause of Christ. Because one day, we all got to stand before that great God of heaven. We're going to have to give an account of everything we have done, whether it's been good or whether it's been bad. I don't know about you. I don't want to be like those nobles who didn't put their hand to the plow. I don't want to be like them. Everybody was mentioned, and they were that little group. There was only one little group that said they wouldn't get involved. Don't be like the nobles this morning. Move self out of the way. Because it's not about you. It's about the work and moving the kingdom of God forward. Let's join in together. You hear this morning? Now you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You heard it. Heard the word, believe it to be true. Repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. When you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Lord adds you to His church, and then you find your place. You get involved in the work of the church. If you're here this morning, you're a member of the church, maybe you have stopped. Maybe you have stopped working for whatever reason it was. Now is the time to say, I'm getting back to work for God. I'm going to do my part in making this congregation what it needs to be. Whatever the case may be, let us stand and sing the song.
Where the soul of will linger, wandering from the fold of God, hear you not the invitation, all prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, my friend, to faithless husband, I'm prepared to be thy God. Godless are you standing while the pleasing is so high, and your life is spent in folly. Oh, prepare to be thy God. Careless oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, I stand to face the judgment, I'm prepared to meet God. If you spurn the invitation, till the Spirit shall depart, then you'll see your second mission. I'm prepared to be thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, I'm prepared to meet thy God.